This is Simply Lowai, and you're listening to The Expert with a Heart. Powered by Timber Media.
Welcome to another episode of Simply Lowai, everybody. Ahalya here, keeping you company, and we've got Lowai Navlaki, CEO and MD of International Money Matters Private Limited, as well as Shantala Kumble here, back on the podcast, SVP of International Money Matters Private Limited, to talk to us today about something very important: life insurance. Extremely important when it comes to financial planning, life protection, and so many other uncertainties that we're going to uncover and unpack today. But the thing is, you know, in the market today, I think all of us every single day come across an ad that is selling some kind of term plan to us, right? What do these term plans mean? Which one is the right one for us? The questions just go on and on. We're going to ask some of them to our experts today. So stay tuned and let's dive right in. Welcome, Shantala. Thank you so much for being with us again. Hi, Lowai. How are you doing? All right. So let's dive into some differences. Okay. What is the basic difference between term insurance, endowment plans, and then you've got something called ULIPs, right? So first you answer that and then we'll go into the follow-up.
Term plans are basically only for protection. Okay. You know? Just in case there was an untoward accident happening and the person were to pass away, the family is protected against the liabilities without having to compromise on the expenses or the goals. Basically, that's the intent. Mm-hmm. And comparatively much affordable. Mm-hmm. In terms of premiums, etc. And endowment plans are saving plans.
Okay.
And very moderate returns, basically with an intent to meet a goal.
Okay.
Right. And ULIPs are for the growth phase, basically, gives a good return if it's in the long run. Mm-hmm. And has a covering built.
Okay, all right. So that's fairly straightforward. We know the three different ones. So how do they each help with life and financial planning goals, Lowai?
I think we have to look at these as what is the benefit that they are giving, right? So the term plan is simply a death benefit, that I am the earning member for the family. I am contributing 10,000 rupees a month for the family expenses. If I pass away, can there be a lump sum invested in a way from this money of the insurance so that my family continues to get the 10,000 rupees a month?
Yeah.
So that's term plan. The endowment plan also gives the person a death benefit, but it's also got an accumulation happening because there is investment happening from that from the premiums of that plan. So if the premium of the term plan is much smaller, the endowment plan premium will be much higher because part of it is equal to the term plan, which is to take care of an unexpected death or an early death. And the rest is being invested.
Okay. Yeah.
There it is being invested as per the rules of IRDA, that X percentage only can go into equity, certain amount can go into debt. Mm-hmm. So it's fixed. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a government-backed safe type of investment product where it will always grow. Mm-hmm. In a unit-linked insurance policy, it's similar to an endowment plan that way because there is both a death benefit and a survival benefit, or an amount coming to you at the end. How much that amount is depends on whether I've allocated money to equity, debt, moved it around, and I can sort of really play with the unit link plans in a way that I can reduce equity when markets are volatile and uncertain before they fall, and I can increase equity when markets are lower, so that I aim is to get higher return on the product. I think people tend to focus on the fact that insurance is a protection vehicle. Mm-hmm. So actually what you really need is term insurance. The rest of it is an investment product that is bundled in. Some people will go to the extreme of saying all of them are terrible and you should never mix up insurance and investment.
Yes.
I think some of them are okay if they are handled, managed well, mm-hmm. And are not being used to meet 100% of certain goals. But if part of the goals, it's a good idea to do it because there is some tax advantages of routing some investment products through insurance.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, all right. So we'll cover that in a bit. But what type of life insurance is best for someone who may be just starting out. So say someone who has just started working, joined the workforce, or someone who has just recently gotten married. Out of the different options, what do you think is the best?
See, term plans is something which will suit anybody if there is no adequate cover. So if there is a need, if there is a dependency on that young professional who started work, term plan is a must. And even if there is no dependency today, thinking ahead, he will acquire a family, there will be dependency then, or he may acquire assets, there could be liabilities as a housing loan, car loan, whatever. So there is a requirement of a term loan for young professionals the moment they start acquiring assets, right? Okay. So that is one. Apart from that, for their growth phase, ULIPs also make sense.
Okay.
Because what happens with ULIPs is once you start investing for a long-term in perspective, it accumulates to a certain amount. And as Lovai mentioned earlier, you can change the allocation based on, you know, the volatility in the market. Or when you're closer to a retirement, change to more towards debt and less towards equity. So that allocation change can happen without really having to bother about the tax impact or exit loads. All that can go out of the window. You can manage the allocation within the plan.
Okay.
So that is beneficial for young professionals as well.
So I think it's not to do with their life stage. It's to do with the goals.
Okay.
So what's
right.
the objective? So if it's a newly married couple, what is the dependency on the primary earning member? And if they're both earning, then both probably require life insurance to the extent that they are also contributing towards the family goals.
So another question there is, I think, how do younger professionals who maybe don't have as much to spend on an insurance premium, right, find a plan that works for them monetarily at this current stage, but then also assures them good cover and benefits in the future, right? How do you even go about researching what are the criteria that they should be looking for?
So there are, I think, many websites where you can today search and find the best sort of cover available. And I don't think term covers are expensive. So I have a feeling that every young professional will be able to afford a term cover. And we've spoken in other episodes about the need for health insurance. So those
yes.
are things which are, you know, first few tick boxes before you jump into SIPs.
Yes.
Which is the popular word nowadays. So you need to have a combination of all this, essentially. Yeah.
So if your life situation were to change, right, this is an important one. Can you have multiple plans, or can you switch from one plan to another depending on, you know, what gets covered under a particular plan?
Your plan already taken cannot be switched.
Okay.
But yes, different plans suit different requirements.
Yes.
As we covered, for young people, young couples, the term plans definitely suits. And even if you are not covered adequately or in your mid life stage, term plans definitely will make sense. But in the accumulation phase, as we said, ULIPs make sense. But if you are in your retirement stage, and not necessarily close to your retirement. In fact, you have to start thinking of retirement much earlier
yeah.
than when you're very few years closer to retirement.
Yeah.
That stage also, there are plans which guarantee you some income. Or there are annuity plans which will give you a pension once you retire. Those plans can be planned out for that retirement stage. But the
Understood.
Planning needs
okay.
to happen much, much earlier.
Okay, perfect. And so here's another interesting thing. I think a lot of times people also think of insurance as some kind of tool, right? Financial planning tool. Is it okay to consider them that and not just protection? And can it actually help with building wealth in some sense or the other?
So, yes. I mean, part of the products or some of the products do help in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issues are around the transparency of the costs of those products
okay.
And therefore you know, having alternative compared and then decide whether it's worth doing the insurance product or doing some other product may be useful
okay.
And frankly, I have seen over the last two decades you know, cost structures etc. changing, so that some point in time a particular product is worthwhile and can be done, and at a later stage it's no longer worthwhile. So it's not something
right.
that is static, or we can say, okay, this is what you can use forever as the rule. But I think the issue with insurance and investment combination that is essentially the opaqueness.
So taking that a step further, then the onus of that kind of lies on you, right? Doing your research or with a trusted financial advisor, figuring out what plan suits you the best in the moment. But because life continues to change, how do you judge whether a plan is serving you well or whether you need to, you know, take an add-on or do like a top-up, booster, etc.?
Firstly, we'll have to find out if what is the cover that is there, is it adequate or not? Or if it's not adequate, then there is a way to find out what is it that is needed. So whether all expenses are covered in case I tend to pass away suddenly, the family which is dependent on me. Right. And when you're considering family, you'll have to consider if they're aged parents who are dependent on you for your income. Yeah. Or is there any other goal that is coming up? Are the goals covered? Are the expenses covered? And are there liabilities that are there on me? Right. So if all that is covered in an insurance plan, then that is adequate term cover. And when it comes to any other requirement of investments, as you said, there are various investment products that are there. And insurance is one of them. So if one insurance product, investment product that you have taken is meeting either a part of a goal or is meeting a goal, the timing is matching, then it is adequate or it can continue. But if there's so too many smaller plans which are insignificant, are just continuing because you've just done, you've just taken it along for a tax benefit or something like that, then we'll have to see pros and cons of whether you have to continue it or let go that plan.
I think one of the things I have seen is that costs of the term cover over the last two decades have actually fallen. So if I had taken a term cover for myself, say 20 years ago, and it was a 30-year plan, then it may be worthwhile re-looking at that and say, can I get that same cover at a cheaper cost? Now, we have to remember one other factor is that the earlier you take term cover, the cheaper it is for you because A, you're younger and therefore the insurance company is assuming that you will live for much longer and therefore you're paying premium for a longer period of time. So they take a fixed amount and that amount does not increase year on year. Whereas if I took the same cover 10 years later, one, the cost will be higher. But two, I could have had a illness which has come in between that period. And then the company will say that this cover excludes that illness. Or because you have that, we are rating you up and therefore instead of the regular premium of 100 rupees, now you have to pay 110 or 120. Right. And that will be for every year subsequent. So I think these factors come into play when you are selecting. So the earlier you start, better. And I think to your question about when do you review, I think you review regularly whenever goals change, goals are achieved or newer goals have come up or the values of those goals have changed. Right. You relook and say, okay, this is what I am expecting to achieve for my family over my lifetime. This is the assets I have. This is the cover I have. Now, is that sum total equal to what I am capable of earning? And if it's short, then maybe an insurance cover is needed at that time.
What are some of the most common mistakes that you've come across people making when either considering or maybe not considering, maybe that's the biggest mistake that they make, but while buying insurance, right? And how can you generally just avoid them? So you give me your top three and then you give me your top three.
One is definitely not disclosing stuffs.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's rather better I disclose everything at upfront, get a rating and I'm sure that I'm covered for this amount.
Okay. Rather so than saying I have like paid, health conditions.
Health conditions, particularly health conditions. Rather than, you know, then regretting later, you know, it may be possible that a person pays the premium for a long term and because of non-disclosure, the claim may get declined. So the purpose is not solved and you have paid the premiums for long. So it's disclose everything first. Second important thing is, you know, just fill it, shut it, forget it kind of an approach. You know, I've taken plans and that is sufficient for me. Don't review. And, you know, some plan 10 lakhs was good enough or 50 lakhs was good enough and we have not reviewed. So 3 crores, 5 crores may be a requirement today, but I'm thinking I have a plan. So making sure that it is reviewed often and, you know, take an additional cover if required. And one more thing could be, you know, I am too young to take insurance cover, as we say.
You also, essentially what you want with your life insurance cover is that when the claim is made, you want it paid.
Yes.
For that, one part, as Shantala said, is that I have disclosed everything, so the company cannot dispute that you hid something material, and on that basis they can say the policy is null and void and all your premiums that you have paid are wasted. That's an important piece. The second thing is that you want the insurance company to out-survive you. So looking at the financials, the stability of the company, while there is government backing and all of that, so it's unlikely that your claim will not get covered. Somebody else will take over and manage, but you'd like to get into that. And in the early days when privatization came in and lots of new players came in, one of the criteria I used to use is to look at the parent company or the Indian company. They typically tie up with an international insurance company. Is that Indian company having A, what sort of brand by itself, and B, are they otherwise in the finance space? Because there were many people who came in with experience in manufacturing, but they said, oh, this is lucrative new area, let me get in. And at some stage they sold out. So I think those are the big ones.
No, those are some really important, I think, cautionary measures that one should take. Insurance, like anything else, is a, you know, a decision to be taken after a fair amount of consideration, but with some sense of urgency as well. So go out there, do it, as always, with a trusted financial advisor. And come back, listen to our podcast if, you know, you need some of those criterion as reminders for you. Thank you, Lovai, and thank you, Shantala, for being with us. All right, bye.
That was an episode of the Simply Lovai podcast series, Expert with a Heart, powered by Timber Media.